Our scripture lesson this morning is Matthew 18, 21 through 35. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. And out of pity for him, the Lord released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went out and threw him into prison until he could pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their Lord all that had taken place. Then his Lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do for every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart.
God, unto you be all praise, glory, and honor. Thank you for the word that you have given to us. Heaven and earth to pass away, but your word will remain the same, and what is built in Christ will last. So may your word build us up. God, may the prayers of our hearts and the meditations and those things that are spoken be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, last week we talked about recovering the high road and just really recapping just in a brief moment of time. The recovering of the high road is simply that the Bible instructs the believer to do something that's contrary to our natural self, the flesh. And that, in particular, is when we have somebody that has done something offensive to us that we are called to go to them and take the high road. Do you remember? And a lot of times in this world, we picture ourselves as being the offended one and sitting here and saying, well, I'm just going to wait for Bob to come and tell me that he's wronged me and kind of get things right. Well, the Bible says, on the contrary, that we are called to go to that person and say, you know, Bob, you did this, and we've got to kind of work this kind of issue out. And so, you know, right then and there, most of us, once we get offended, we stay offended, and it discounts our blessing, it steals our joy, and we just kind of walk in a defeated way about ourselves. But the Bible says that with Christ, we can recover high road, and we can be victorious. And so when we think about last week and then moving on to this second phase of recovering the high road, there is some complementary messages that Christ wants to speak life to the church over so that you can apply it to yourself and live a holy, sanctified, and rewarding life in this world. And so, you know, when we think about what we've heard today, whether it's in a children's moment, and once again, a round of applause for that children's moment today. I mean, I liked it. And I took a picture of little Zoe there, and she had a perma-grin on her face the whole time. Don't tell me that that's not effective. I believe Zoe's going to walk away today remembering something that most of us are going to be thinking about where to go eat. She's already been eating on the bread of life today. Amen? And so that's what God would intend for us, to grab a hold of these messages and let us have that kind of grin that she had sitting up there in animation, because that real technicolor that Jesus offers is just amazing if we open up to the imagination of what God wants to speak to the church each time an oracle or prophet comes up here and says, "Thus saith the Lord." It's good for us today. And so I hope that as we begin to think about that, that this text today kind of helps us in a complimentary way of saying, okay, first of all, people offend us. We don't wait for them to come and say, "Hey, did you know I did you wrong?" We go to them not to try to pick them out and to judge them, but to say, you know what? Our relationship needs to be restored. Right now there's a severing. Right now there's a division. And in Jesus' name, because there's no issue more important in this world than our relationship, I'm going to take the high road and go to you and say that I think that it's more important for us to be reconciled than to be angry with one another and divide and create rivalries and create wars and shoot rockets at one another, or even just completely apathetically, like they don't even exist to begin with. And so today we move into this 7x70, and y'all have heard it a lot. Maybe some of you have even taught this story. You've heard other ministers, podcasts, read devotions, what have you. But I think today is fresh enough for us to live into. But when we first of all look at this primary text, number one is, what is the cross? What is the cross? It's more than just some shiny symbol of Christianity we wear around our neck. The cross is rugged, but the cross is the atonement. The cross paid it all. And in the Message version, Eugene Peterson said in Luke 10:27, that it can be teachable, the cross, and what Jesus means by that in so many ways, what the cross empowers us to do. He says that you love the Lord your God with all of your passion and prayer and muscles and intelligence, and that you love your neighbor as yourself. Now see, in our vernacular, what we're used to hearing is heart, soul, strength, and mind. The cross empowers us to do that because we've been forgiven from the cross. It gives us the ability to have victory. We have no victory or strength in our own selves. It is the cross that Jesus gave the heavy lifting so that we could just walk in the glory of His resurrection power. And you remember, I've told us before that one of the primary things Jesus admonishes the church, He said, all power has been given. Go out and be successful. Go out and live victorious. Go out and live not like a coward, but like a warrior king. Go out and live as one of my children. You know, here recently I've been taking an Old Testament class, and you'd say, oh, how boring is that? And you know, today's language is a lot about leadership. And you hear about leadership in corporations, and everybody's having conferences and seminars and workshops. Some of them are good. Some of them weren't worth the power it take to blow them up. You know, and it's a waste of time. But really and truly, it's about servanthood. And Jesus explains, as He reveals in the Old Testament, that it wasn't just one person designated to be a leader or a servant. It was about us loving God with heart, mind, soul, strength, and realizing the power that all of us are called to be priests. All of us are called to be prophets. Every one of us is called to be a sage. Every one of us is called to be royal in the eyes of God. And it starts with us recognizing what has happened on the cross for us. The cross simply saves, because Jesus saves. Jesus forgives, and we receive that forgiveness first through Christ. Now, let me kind of partner some things together, because you're saying, how is He making any sense of what He's talking about today? It seems like He's going all over the place. Well, I'm going to circle the crowd a couple of times, and I hope that I can wrangle you in a little bit, rope you in. But really, when we talk about loving God with all heart, mind, soul, and strength, the next part is to what? Love your neighbor as what? Yourself. Now, I've told you time and again that we're to love ourselves. But how many of us do that? You know, I'm not talking about narcissistic love. I'm not talking about love that snuffs out other responsibilities. I'm talking about love that confesses and love that admits that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Just like there aren't two snowflakes in the world identical, there isn't anyone else like you. That God didn't make junk. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Before you were in your mother's womb, God was knitting and designing you. And God says, I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts to give you a prosperous future. A prosperity with abundance. I'm not talking about hoarding up cash somewhere. I'm talking about living as someone that is learning the growing knowledge of God's amazing love and grace. And realizing that that is uniquely yours. Nobody else has it. That God, when He made you, He broke the mold and said, you're the only one. How many of us really live like that? But let's go ahead and talk about this scripture today and say, well, how does this love thing compare with forgiveness? Well, I believe that it's really about the same in certain ways. If the Bible says that we're to love ourselves and then love our neighbor, and we're not doing a good job of loving ourselves by not, you know, first of all acknowledging that, hey, I'm a child of the King. Hey, I was created fearfully and wonderfully in the image of God. You know, God's saying, don't call yourself junk. I made you and I did it right. You know, if I had my druthers, I would have probably designed myself a little bit differently, right? You know, right now I'm striving, and I'm on that last little road, and it is the hardest little road ever. I don't know if it's up the hill or wherever, somewhere in the swamp, somewhere I'm bogged down. But I'm so close, I want one time in my life to have abs of steel. You know, I want to have this six-pack, right? And you know what? I've read books and all kinds of things, and one thing I've recognized is that abs begin in the kitchen. And you know what? I don't know if I have the wherewithal to eat and live off of cardboard. You know, I mean, it is a really lean diet, and it's really hard. I mean, I'm almost there, and it says you can do crunches until the cows come home. And you're not going to get that six-pack until you start eating a little bit different. You know, if it had been my way about it, I would have gone ahead and, you know, designed my body the way I thought it should be, and I would have kind of figured things out, and I'd said no. But no, we don't have the choices and decisions. God's saying, you live with what you got and glorify me with it, right? Because if, you know, some would want curly hair instead of short hair. Some would want to be tall and some would want to be short. Have you ever noticed real tall people slump over and real short people are all cocky? I mean, it's, you know, all kinds of things. Somebody says, I wish I had curly hair. And they say, I wish I had straight hair. I really wish I had blue eyes. And, you know, all these things that we will never shoulda, woulda, coulda. And God's saying, glorify me with what you got and you'll see the resurrection power come forth and manifest in you. But how does this love and this partnership work together? Well, the Scripture says, really, it really says that I've given you the capacity. You have owe me a great debt. But see, the cross paid for it all. And we're talking about millions versus a couple of hundred silver pieces of coin. And so, you know, this master took the side of compassion. The master took the side of saying, you owe me great debt and you'll probably never pay it off. I could sell you, your wife, and your family and it wouldn't even scratch the surface. Matter of fact, you're bankrupt. But I'm going to forgive you because you've asked for mercy. I'm going to forgive you because you've pled for me to be patient with you. I'm going to wipe and cancel out your debt. And what's that crazy person do? Turns around and goes and strangles somebody for just a couple of dollars. What did they forget? They forgot that much is given, much is required. How much do you have? Do you know? Because if you're not loving yourself, if you're not walking in the goodness of God, then you don't think you're worthy, and so you're not thinking about how much is required of what God's given you. You know, there's that little kid that said, heaven is for real. I mean, and I think it's a great movie. I wish they made a movie from some little kid or somebody that would say, hell's for real. Because we need to understand that there's two sides of the story there. And we need to understand what we've really been forgiven of and what's required of us to share. And it starts with loving ourselves. But here again, I'm going back around. This idea, or not only an idea, but this theological standpoint for us about forgiveness. We're supposed to love people, right? We're supposed to love ourselves and then to love our neighbor. Well, you know what? I want you to think about the concept of forgiving yourself. How many of you have forgiven yourselves? You know, we talk about what the cross has done. We talk about that being powerful for us, right? We talk about how effective that is, and that gives us access to eternity. And you know, if you've listened to me for any matter of time, one of the phrases I use and one of the concepts I preach, one of the things I believe in more than anything is abundant life. And that's John 10:10. I came to offer abundant life and life more abundantly. I don't know what more is about, but he says that, you know, with me you'll never exhaust it. It's going to be more and more and more. It's going to be like sticking your face in front of a fire hydrant when you just want a sip. God's saying, you know, I'm more than enough for you. But you know what? It starts with this idea of I've been forgiven. I have to forgive myself. How many of you still say, well, God, you don't understand. You remember back when I used to be this way. Or God, you know, I did this to a family member. Or God, you know, I used to be a really bad person. I woke up one time with wrapped around a tree or whatever. You know, and you still carry that with you over and over and over again. And so how can you extend forgiveness to anybody when you won't forgive yourself? When Jesus has already paid it all and He's saying, I don't know what you're talking about, Bruce. But God, you remember. God's saying, you know, it's a broken record. I said in my word I was faithful and I've forgiven. But Lord, you remember back in 1963 when there was a little bit of a party going on and God's saying, what in the world are you talking about, crazy person? I've forgiven you. Forgive yourself. So you can go about the business of forgiving others in your life. And I think that that is the greatest hardship and the darkest spot in the church is that the amount of unforgiveness that is in the house of God. And you know what? It's not an easy task, but Christ didn't call us to easiness. But like we heard today in this little message, it robs us of our joy if we don't. What do you need to forgive yourself about? Huh? You know, we pop and make fun of the Catholic Church, but some of us need a little confessional booth around the side. And then we need to walk away from it and realize that it's done. It's left at the back door. We need to begin to walk in forgiveness because I believe most of... Let me give you an illustration. Can I get an amen? Amen. Jesus went through to His best friends. They're all weeping. They're all crying. Martha's all like, why weren't you here a little bit earlier? You know, my brother stinks by now, he's dead. And Jesus says, y'all go ahead and roll the stone away. And they're like, do you know what you're asking for? This guy's already been dead 4 days, Jesus. And there's these wellers and all kinds of people around. And Jesus says, you know, historically, Lazarus, come forth. And all of a sudden, you know, and what's something else that He told the attendants there? Y'all remember? Said, unwrap him. Unwrap him. See, there's a lot of people in the church still wrapped up as mummies and not living abundantly because they're all bound up by unforgiveness in their heart. They're all bound up because they're holding things against other people and they haven't been loosened because they've been tied up by their own dysfunction. Glory to God. It took being unwrapped so Lazarus could walk. It took the church to unwrap the man of God. We've got to allow Jesus to get us out of the tomb and unwrap us as dead, dried up mummies. And we need to begin to walk in that area. You know, one of the greatest messages of the church is reconciliation. When are we going to start living in reconciliation? You see, Jesus for us has represented on the cross death and shame and suffering. We don't have to. We're going to go through that, but we're not alone and we're empowered to live victorious because He's paid it all for us. Jesus has overcome for us. The cross affirms our salvation and our eternity. So how do we respond? Help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. I mean, you're a liar if you pretend like you don't need some help in this world. We need it. And God says, I'm faithful to reach down to the uttermost. Whether you are that little lamb on the side of the mountain just hanging on, or if you're that one that's getting ready to sink into the Sea of Galilee, Jesus is there to reach down and pull you up out of the miry clay and set your foot on a rock. But it starts with the shift, crying out for help, asking for forgiveness of sin, accepting forgiveness, extending forgiveness, being healed in areas, and offering forgiveness. You see, what happened, or should have happened, to that servant that was forgiven of a lot? He should have took that next moment of time and resources of talents and energies and extended that goodness. You know, I would have been running out. Do you know I've been forgiven of millions of dollars? Glory to God! Hallelujah! I mean, you think about it. You had a debt marked in your life, and it's called sin. Why aren't you that happy? But you know what you want to do? You want to go up to the next person and say, "You owe me this!" I'm a crazy preacher, I'm telling you now. But I believe it. I believe it. The cross of Jesus empowers the church. And for much is given, much is required. Strap up your boots. Put on your uniform. Serve. Offer forgiveness, first of all, accepting I am loved, I'm cherished, I am one of a kind. I've been forgiven and I'm going to forgive myself. I'm not going to say but anymore because all those buts go back around to the enemy speaking to you, you're no good. Well, he's a liar. You're wonderful. You are a child of the Most High God. Much is given, much is required. So that really restores for us if we live into that model of taking the high road. Christ offers forgiveness. We accept it and we confess. And how do we do this? By trusting the Lord. He's good. By faith. Number one, we must exercise faith. It's not good enough just to sit here and say, you know, preacher, you preached a really good message today. Sounded great. Man, I really got motivated. Woohoo! Go Jesus! No. It is about us exercising faith. Because without works, it's dead. It's about studying and absorbing Jesus. And I'm talking about the biblical Jesus. I don't know about you, but I watched the Noah movie. I tried to, fell asleep about three times, and finally it was like, man, I'm going to pay a three-day late fee for this. So it's not worth watching. I mean, it's great animation, rock figures helping. I mean, come on. But you know, I'm talking about the Bible Jesus, the one that says, "Come unto me, all you who are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you peace and rest." That Jesus, the one that unwraps the clothes that holds us back. So today, brothers and sisters, operate in Christ. Believe it. Don't settle for less. Almighty God has more in store for you. The best days of the church are ahead of us. And because of the finished work of Christ living in us, we are forgiven and we are His light to the world. Yes, it's a challenge, but that is by human standpoints. God tells us, and I want you to remember this, greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. That it gives you a power to love yourself, to forgive yourself, to receive that love and forgiveness, and then share it with others. It's that simple. We want to make it tough. Faith is not the absence of fear. God gives abundant grace and power for us to face our fears directly. Friends, God's goodness is great and greatly to behold. I want you to receive His goodness today. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we love You, we thank You, we praise You. We are forgiven. And for those that call on Your name, we are forgiven indeed. God, we take this moment of silence just to have conversation with You. Not just to hear some guy rant and rave and go up and down from a podium to the floor, but really to, at this moment, just pause and reflect, to Selah, to think about what we've heard, sung, and expressed in worship and preached. Today, friend, if there's any area in your life where you need forgiveness, just quietly voice it to God. Maybe you are angry at some type of transaction Maybe you were mistreated as a child, or maybe you were neglected or overlooked. Maybe you were picked at or bullied. Maybe you're not respected. Maybe you carry a sense of anger all the time, and it's like a light switch where you're happy and angry, all in one breath. God's saying, lay those today at the altar and I will heal you. And then when you try to remind God, but God, God's going to say, what are you talking about? Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. Friends, let's stand and sing, and let's sing it from our heart as forgiven children this morning. Your song is on the screen.